And so it was. Right at the beginning, when God and man set forth dominion and order, was the legacy of the Oba. And now that we are here, in the 33rd Kemetic dynasty, for the line of the Oba must never end. And so it was, and my shaman did speak these words. Let it be known that we come from a place where God Hapi dwelt, at the foothills of the mountains where the two moons meet. Shemhotep. Make sure to chime in to another Dr. Rock prescription, where we fulfill your need for what's real. Join us at Introspect. Come take the journey.
That's right. Here at Introspect with Dr. Rock, we're going to have a very provocative show tonight. We're talking about what does it take to kill a lion. I mean, what actually happens when another lion comes into a pride and kills another lion? We're going to be talking about the social commentary issues that have been plaguing the African in America for so long. What can we do about it? We have some solutions, but we want to hear from you guys. We want to know exactly how you guys feel about it. You know, we're broadcasting on BTR, and also we're posting this on Facebook because we want you guys to come in and give us your solutions, give us your answers, give us your suggestions, because, again, we are nothing without you. Please remember now, the call-in number for the show tonight is 646-668-2295. That's 646-668-2295. Again, tonight, which is Tuesday, we do a show called Introspect. That's every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday night, we're going to be doing a show called Club Success. It's all about business. Post it same time, same call-in number, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Thursdays, guys, I know you guys are going to be happy to hear this. We're going to be doing Computer Love, the remix, talking about romance and relationships. You know, Dr. Rock is going to stick with what made him famous. So, again, same bat time, 8 p.m. Just be patient with us. But we have a very special guest tonight. We have, she ain't that special. She's pretty much a regular. Been with the doc since the beginning. But she is a very a prophetic poetess. And she has a piece that she wanted to share with us tonight. And we're going to see if we can get a Poetess Lapata on the line. Miss Lapata.
Salam.
Mokatav. Or is that Bokatav, right?
Peace. How are you?
Peace, sister. How are you doing today?
All right.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. I heard you have a unique piece for our fallen angels. Again, this show is dedicated to the fallen angels in our community, from the Emmett Tills to 400 years of slavery, 5,000 lynchings, all of the many that have fallen prey to the various, I'm just going to call it, tragedies that America has, that America has befallen the African in America. And as Dr. Rock is saying it, guys, we are not African Americans. We are Africans in America. And that's why we're not treated like Americans. So, again, Poetess Lapata has a piece for Mike Browns and the Sandra Blands. And we want to let her, we're going to give her a couple of minutes to go ahead and share that with us. The name of the piece is I Can't Breathe.
These words. Correct.
Go ahead.
These I'm ready. These words, I can't breathe. Eric Garner's last plea. I can't breathe. Did you hear these words? He said, I can't breathe. Did you hear him say, you're hurting me? He knew nothing about his own murder, the one they justified, the death, as people worldwide wept, wailed against the uneven pales of society's injustice for those of us who are black, not white, when wrong is always right. Somebody cutting out the light to his life, choking, choking, choking him to death. Chokehold, so bold, stunning, continents across the globe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Eric Garner died before our eyes, wondering why it all happened. This is why he said, I can't breathe.
Hey,
and
girl.
This is America.
What?
Jumped on the giant back, killed him on camera eye, watching Eric Garner die, thrown to the ground, snuffed out the lighted smile, took away a father from his children, a husband from his wife, a friend from his community, a son from his mother, snatched his sunshine and snatched her away from him with only a black moon, an open wound which cannot be filled, still remains open, an open hole. It's a sin to be stalked, stopped, and frisked because of color. You could not resist a reason to profile a black man on the street, snuffed out by his chance to live, his chance to love and support his family. There's no law against the right to freeze, intimidated by his color and size. So you decide, matter of course, stereotypical stool, another black man's life gone, gone from the light of his mother's eye. Man, I got no Lucy's. I got no Lucy's. Did you hear? I got no Lucy's. Damn, why are you bothering me? I've got a life to live. Just let me be. Please, just let me be. Stand here and just let me breathe. Just let me breathe. I can't breathe. See, hey, you're suffocating me. I can't breathe. I just know, he said, I can't breathe. Televised, the world heard him say, I can't breathe. I'm not a black man. I'm a black woman. And they did this to Sandra Bland. 911, something's going wrong. Somebody please call 911 because they're doing it again. Can you hear Eric say, I can't breathe? Someone should have saved him from this killing. Someone should have saved him from being pinned to the ground with his last pleas, broke his mother's heart as his words flee. Hey, mama, I can't breathe. Please remember, I love you, mama. I can't breathe.
Snap. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Sister LaPata. I'm not going to even waste the sound effects, play the hand claps or any of that. I just want everybody to think about it. I can't breathe. By the people that are supposed to protect us, at their hands, at this point in time, I can't breathe. For most of you guys don't understand, maybe not know that word Lucy. It's not like Lucy Ricardo. It's actually loose cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think he had some incidents with the police before about that.
Right.
Yeah. But,
right.
Hey, guys, obviously the doc is doing something right this time. We have, I actually thought we were going to break bank tonight and have over 50 calls, but I know we got about 30 calls right now. But I'm going to open up some of the top callers because I know we have some callers that want to just chime in. And I just want to know how you feel about what's going on in America today. I'm going to start at 804-564. Again, guys, if you want to chime in, hit the number one on your dial, and that'll cue me and let me know. I don't have a producer tonight, so just hit that number one and let me know that you want to chime in. But 804-564, what the hell is going on in America? Can you hear
Hello?
Me? There
I'm
you go.
Here.
How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm calling in from Richmond, Virginia.
Cool. Hey, I think I know who this is. Got that radio voice. We got to get you in on this program so I can get a producer.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, brother? What's your spin on what's going on in America?
Well, I watch the news every day, and what they put on the news is not new. It's the same thing every day, but what they're doing is distracting us with what they want us to know, what they want us to understand, but what we fail to do is stand up and recognize the distraction.
Touché.
There's a lion that was killed. One lion.
Yes.
One lion was killed by one man
mm-hmm.
somewhere way, way, way away from here.
Yeah.
They have laws to govern what happened over there.
Yeah.
We do not know the details yet. Everyone is up in arms. Kill him, kill him, kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is ignorance. Because people are judging before they even get the information.
Well, and real lives are being killed every day. And I'm
lives
not saying that.
Lives are dying right here, and lives are dying right there for other reasons,
yeah.
But it's not important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Dirty water. Children are drinking dirty water and dying.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a lack of food. There's an overabundance of diseases that there are cures for. But they're not going to get the cures. If you cure it, then you can't sell them any more drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, we want to talk specifically about, you know, the Emmett Till's, the Michael Browns, the Sandra Bland's, and those types of incidents, and actually what happened.
About each one of those incidents. Each one of those incidents are isolated where they are, yet they are repetition of the times.
Yeah.
Right.
They're repetitions of the times. And my history did not begin in 1865. My history did not begin in the United States.
That's
and
right.
That is where the Black America is stuck. Black America is stuck in a 400-year window. The 400-year window we're stuck in is that the white man dragged us from Africa and enslaved us. But see, if you read the Bible, slavery began much, much longer ago than on this soil that we live on.
I agree.
Slavery
okay.
began in Africa.
Okay, hold
Oppression
on.
Oppression began in Africa.
We understand. Hold on a second. Let's get somebody else in on the call right quick. Let's just find out 216-269. What's going on in America, man? I mean, what's happening? 216-269.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, well, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good.
First of all, I congratulate you for raising this subject. And probably the reason these things go on is we let them become side issues because they're talked about by people like you, the grassroots people, who are independent and able to say what they want to say like you're doing on this program. So many people that could stand up and talk about this have their own agendas. They're news producers, they're giving the news, but it seems to be a pattern to me that happens when people get more frightened of us African people and think they have to put us back in their place. You know what I mean? If you look over time, if you look at it, it's almost as if they're making a gesture and a statement to tell you to shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically mm-hmm. what they're saying. And the sad part is most of the people obey that, except for people like you who are not afraid to raise this issue. And this is the sad part about it. We talk among ourselves, and we almost preach to the choir because you already feel this way, or you wouldn't be raising this subject.
Yeah.
And we get irritated. You see, we have people like Puffy, who's an important entertainer, that will get on TV and say, you know what? When I see a cop car, I get scared. And you got $1 billion or so, and you scared. If you're scared, you should keep it to yourself, because I'm going to share one other thing with you. I got two sons and two daughters. You know, they have this stereotype that you see the intelligent Negroes get on the programs and say, well, you know, this conversation that we have with our sons of how to drop your head when you see the police. Well, I tell you what, both my sons are over 30 years old and still living, and I never had that doggone conversation, and I never will, because I never wanted to put in their consciousness that they need to feel inferior to anybody. I don't care what they are or with a badge, but recognize where you are. Keep yourself on the right side of the law. Be respectful to a law officer like anybody else. But as far as that dropping your head, acting like you're afraid or in trouble, don't have it, don't feel it, and won't. So good luck, brother. Keep doing what you're doing.
Very well said, sir. I mean, I'm feeling everything that you said. It was pretty well on point and much needed. Hang on for a minute. Let's get LaPata's perspective on this situation. Sister LaPata, because you're out of New York, and Eric Garner's...
it's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, just in Texas today, by the Sandra Bland situation, a lady was stopped in Texas, in Houston again, and was her cavity was searched on the side of the road. I think it happened before, but it happened again. So, you know, like 804-564 was saying, this ain't nothing new. But, I mean, what's the atmosphere? I mean, and I want you guys to understand this. We're not just going to be pious pontificators of provocative postulation on this show. This is just the first, time we're coming back. We're going to have some solutions on this show.
Right.
And I want to see if the many can become the one. Because I guarantee if we can do that, I mean, all of our solutions start with unity. Go ahead, Sister LaPata. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying, like, okay, I've lost a few friends here in New York because of my views and how I express myself. I'm not going to stifle what I feel, the injustice with relation to myself, my family, and my people. I'm just not going to do it. You don't do it for your people. I'm certainly not going to do it for my people. I'm going to represent as hard as I can. I'm just one person, and I refuse to bow down and cow down to anyone, you know, like that. Absolutely no one. Like, my children know me. They're like, oh, Lord, here she comes. She got a rap. I'm not, you know, here she comes. She comes talking that, you know, revolutionary suicide. You got to read this. You got to read that. Because, you know, knowledge is power. I always say that, you know, and it's absolutely true. Education, like, that's one beautiful thing, like Brother Muhammad up at the Schomburg is doing. You know that, Rock. You know, it's just so much happening here. But it's so intense, too, because you will break your lines between people you thought were your friend really are not your friend. I have some friends of the other part. You got it.
I've gotten that one also. You know, you keep talking that black stuff.
Yeah, well, they totally disconnected themselves from me. And that's all good, because you were not my friend from the jump, you know?
Yeah, on Facebook, I think those are the people they're labeling coons. And a lot of people probably other old Southern. But the actual term coon actually came from an Indian tribe that were described as raccoon. I think it was the Blackfeet.
Blackfoot Indians, right.
And they were not called Blackfoot because they were black, but would wear dark ashes on their sandals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were called, the Blackfoot. And they also were called, they had an African name that was attached to that tribe, and it meant raccoon, which is where the actual term coon came from. But again, we're just kicking the knowledge, but I guarantee you guys, I want you guys to patiently hang in with us every Tuesday night, because the doctor's got some solutions. I may come up missing. I ain't trying to be no martyr. I'm just trying to be a vehicle for the people. But understand this, I am nothing, nothing without you. Old African proverb, you know, I am nobody. My existence is nil and very unimportant without you guys. I think I got my bestest of friend in the whole wide world on the line, but she's probably working. 412-613, hit the number one if you want to chime in. I know you're probably doing some work. She's hard at she bring the plantation home with her. I'm not putting her down. We got to make our money. But there's going to come a time in the very near future where we have to make some very important decisions about being black in America. I want to lend to the conversation that I think I have some solutions. And I'm telling young brothers, you ain't got enough 22s and 25 automatics. You don't have enough blocks.
That's right.
You look at Ferguson, just on the CNN just recently, right before I chimed into the show, CNN, they have the white militia.
You know, yes.
Armed white men walking around Ferguson right now, and the police aren't doing anything. Because
Absolutely.
They told them they was going to be there, and the police co-signing it.
That's right. That's right.
We're just
That's
safe
right.
in America. We're not safe. Let me go back to 804-564. I got a question I want to ask you guys. 40 years hence, had we listened to and followed Malcolm X's doctrine as opposed to Martin Luther King's doctrine of integration, where do you think we would be today? 804-564, come back in.
All right, when you, I'm still here. Now, when you say Malcolm X's doctrine, right?
The doctrine of separation, violence, just separation.
God did not create us to be separate. And I didn't hear anyone mention God yet. But God is the creator of all things good. And I tried to find it in that Bible where it talks about separation by race. I don't
see it. Let me interject. Tower of Babel. It's right there. Tower of Babel.
He separated
right
their
there.
Tongues.
Yes, exactly.
He
the languages, which is their culture.
But what I'm trying to say, we get offended. We get offended in a group, and I'm trying to figure out how can we say that it's the system. The classes have been classes since the beginning of time.
Right.
And we can sit here and it's 300 what million people in America.
325 million. Yes, sir. Close to 400 million.
Yeah, and it's 7 billion in the world.
We're encroaching 7 billion. You're right.
And how do a country of 300 million people run the world?
Power and fear.
Yeah, but that's but you see, we say knowledge is power. Knowledge is king. Knowledge is
that's
king.
Right.
When we grow in grace and grow in knowledge, then can't nothing tear us down. And just like I said, I never had that talk with my children about holding their heads down.
Exactly.
When I was in the first grade, I was in the first grade in 1969 in Virginia. And that was the very first year that blacks and whites all went to the same school.
The home of Brown versus Board of Education.
Now, let's look at the history of the United States. Are we just black and white, or are we a multiracial country?
No, we're not
where
multiracial.
Where were the Asians? Yes, we are. Where were the Asians going to school?
Hold on. We're not multiracial because there's only. But no. There's only three or four designation of races. We're multicultural.
There are Hispanics here. They're multiracial.
No, sir. It's cultures. Those are
you can call it culture.
Race.
It's the word.
It's not a race.
That's the word they use. That's the word they use.
I understand it. I just want us
it's
to be correct what we're saying here. Being Hispanic or being Spanish is not a race. It's a culture. They're from Spain, and they're Anglo. That's Europe.
No, they're not. Honestly, sir, they're not. The Hispanics are not from Spain. Spaniards are Caucasian, just like the white man here in America. They're Caucasian.
Right.
And when they came and conquered areas where Indians were, they mixed with the Indians. Which created that, what you call that black hair Mexican?
What are you saying? Mexican.
That's where they derived. You see what I'm saying?
We have another show. Actually, They actually came from the Ouachita tribe, which is black also, if you're talking about Mexicans. But we'll discuss that later. Continue
on. What I'm trying to say is the standard of this country was built on a lie from the beginning.
Yeah, of course.
Every country that came over here was looking for somewhere else to expand or spread out.
And
blacks did it too, though. Blacks did it first.
What do you mean?
Blacks did it first. They did it first. I'm trying to tell you something. If you really read the Bible,
voluntarily,
the truth is in the Bible, and I mean I won't stand down on it. The truth is in the Bible, and we do not talk about.
What I'm getting ready to say, don't you think that the Bible is a series of narratives, a series of parables to teach people, no matter what your color is, to teach you how to act as a human being, as an individual? You know, the Ku Klux Klan call themselves what? Christians?
You asked a question, now you're making a statement. Are you going to answer that question?
Hold on a second. Let her finish now.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. When we base everything on the Bible, that is what they hold up to us, and that is what keeps us in submission. Don't you agree?
No.
I don't. You don't agree.
No, I'm gonna tell you. I can honestly explain to you why. Because I've been through an experience in my life with my own eyes. And when I study that Bible, you know what the Bible tells me?
What?
That God can use any sinner to become a winner. Okay? God can use any sinner to become a winner for his purpose. The only reason we are still alive now is because there are some selfless, spiritually in-tuned people who believe that if you can wear your gift and give God the glory, that he will give you all the desires of your heart. Now, whether some of these people with the most do what God expects them to do with it is on them, and they have to suffer those consequences. Yesterday, they celebrated 1 year death of Robin Williams, one of the funniest men we ever seen on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, his family is still fighting over what? The money.
Money. Yeah.
He took himself out of here, and I'm not going to honor him. He chose to end his life. I will not honor him.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, 804.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6:5. You familiar with that scripture?
What was that?
Ephesians 6, chapter 6, the fifth verse.
Let me hear that.
It says, slaves, be a good slave to your slave master.
Mm-hmm.
What God wants a people to be enslaved by another people? Be brief, because I'm going to bring 216 back in. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that quote. Who wrote it?
Your Bible.
Who's the
That's
author?
Your Bible.
No, but who's the author?
The author is
men.
The apostles.
No,
men.
No. The name of the apostle. That's what happens. A lot of people will go, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I would say, well, who wrote that? They can't tell you who wrote it, and they can't tell you what it really means to them. But I can tell you
can
what
tell
it means.
The
faith without
King
works.
The version was translated by, you know, his scribes, King James' scribes. That the translation of what we read today.
I will never be challenged on a scripture, because it's the complete body of work. The complete body of work. There's a lineage.
Like,
if you read it, it's a lineage from the beginning of time. There's a lineage, and it explains how these people who did the worst things in life, murderers, robbers, thieves, who found the right way and started obeying. No, you got to obey everybody. Nobody ordered that.
Hold on a second. Okay,
No one ordered.
Yeah, some people you got to put them on hold because they don't want to hear what other people have to say. And if we're going to be talking about being Christ-like, let's act Christ-like. Let's be respectful of others. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the social issues that are befalling America today, and that's one of them. That's one of them. A lot of people will disagree with you, 804-564, and they have the right to do so. You know, a lot of young people today are not falling for the old go to sleep and sing some old Negro spiritual.
So, absolutely. We've been doing that too long.
Yeah. 216-269. You got that sleeping pill called the Bible?
Yeah, yeah, I heard the brother, you know, I think, listen, Dr. Rock, I almost think that you put this brother on here as a way to prove your point of why we're in the situation we're in. I don't want to talk on it too long, but just the amount of time that he spent, and if he remembers one, he's a good man, and I love him. But sometimes I wish the Christians would love and respect other people as much as we love them. But that being said...
You know my saying about them good Christians? You know, my problem with them good Christians is they lack a Christianity.
I don't think anybody can say it any better than you just said it. If they go back and listen to one of Malcolm X's remarks was that when we get in the community and talk about what you're talking about, which is the state of black people, leave your religion at home. And Malcolm X, he was devout in his religion, but understood that if we as a people want to deal with the issues that we face, then let's all come together in unity about the issues we're talking about, and then go back home and pray to wherever and whoever you want to.
I hope
the brother's still listening, and I'll give somebody to comment on.
Hold on a second, but I was trying to remember the movie, was it Boys in the Hood, where they were sitting in that 64 Chevy, and they were talking about, he says, God doesn't exist. He says, man, God is... Why don't we let the little kids in the hood be just murdered and shot down by drive-bys, cats slanging them? Why would he allow that? Why would he allow people in Africa and Nicaragua to be starving from, dying from starvation? A God wouldn't allow that. We are in control. We have to take responsibility for our own actions. It is the greed of man.
I'm going to say one more thing. If I can live my life disrespecting you, your kids, raping, murdering, and wait till the last hour and have somebody else save me, what incentive do I have to live a good life and treat you in the right way?
Exactly.
That seems kind of like a phony scheme to me. So when people take responsibility, you don't need somebody else to save you, number one. You might be able to take the example, but I never use a personal pronoun with the person with the force and entity that I worship, because any he or she does not have the wherewithal to put this universe and keep this universe together.
None of us.
We have to do to do down here. We were all given brains and insight to do our own work. And that's the epitome of being a slave and being dependent is when you want somebody else to do your own work and save you. And I'm out, blood. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I think the old folks used to say prayer without works. You know, you got to do something, too. You can't fall on your knees and just ask God to do what he already gave you the wherewithal to do. We have to stand up. We have to figure a way out of this. And we can. I know that we can. Within us. And I'm not going to say we're all kings and queens from Africa, because we ain't acting like that. But we do have what it takes to be good. You know what? Let me ask you guys this question. What was the only time in America where we were good? When was the only time in America when we were good to each other and everything was peachy keen and honky-dory? I mean, I can tell you about some times in Africa, Malian, Songhai, where there was 100 years of there was no poverty and there was no starvation. You know, everybody was taken care of because there was equitable distribution of the wealth. But today, we're in a situation now where it's literally, veterans are homeless. Young people killing older people. we disrespect each other. We rather shake our butts and sell drugs than to to work. Well, and sometimes the opportunity is not there. A lot of the jobs have been taken overseas. What is it, again, 804-564, I wanted you to answer a specific question. Where would we be today, and I'm going to pose that question to Sister Lapata, where would we be today had we adhered to Malcolm's doctrine as opposed to Martin Luther's doctrine of integration? Integration as opposed to separation. Sister Lapata.
Well, my take on it is that I personally feel separation. That's just me. Because when we had black schools, like my mother comes from an all-black foundation where the black school teachers stayed in the family. They taught the children. You know, like we have the Marva Collins of the times. I mean, because, you know, Malcolm said, how are we supposed to have the oppressor teaching our children? What kind of knowledge could the oppressor give our children? What kind of knowledge is that? They're not teaching us about our kings and our queens of Africa. And I'm not talking about just throwing that word out there. I'm not talking about you, my queen, you, my king. I'm talking about for real. What, have they taught our children any of that? We can't go to white education for that. You got to search deep. And I'm not talking about through no Bible. You got to search deep.
Let me go.
That's knowledge. That's what's up.
And that's a good.
That's how I feel.
And I think a lot of young people are questioning, how can we take on this Christian thing so devoutly when it was given to us by our slave masters? And yet,
that's right.
We're willing to die for it. You know, we're willing to believe in it wholeheartedly. And I guarantee you, in the Great Marfa, 30 million slaves that came across the Atlantic, you can walk on the bones. None of those people that came over here were Christians. Not a one.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were Christians. Unfortunately, you know, some may have been Muslim, you know, and most believe in a doctrine that something similar to the Indians, everything on earth and in nature has a right to live. And they respect that.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm not trying to say that you're right or wrong. Ain't nobody right or wrong. We're about solutions. Allow me to pose another question and getting back to the topic. So many young black men and now black females are being literally killed,
murdered
by the police.
Murdered, yeah. Yes.
With the advent of technology and cell phones, we're seeing it. And the same thing with Rodney King. We saw this man get beat, and yet the cops still got off. I mean, what part of that equation do we not understand? We're not safe. Sandra Bland, unfortunately, got stopped on a very trivial offense, changing a lane.
That's right.
I mean, and it got blown totally out of proportion. I'm going to ask you again, 804-564. I'm going to bring you back in, but please be respectful and talk to me about what you feel about, you know, some of our fallen angels, Michael Browns, the Sandra Blands, the Eric Garners. Please.
You want my real take on that? You want my real take on that?
I want you to tell me
my take on that. Well, first of all, after I was rudely disrespected, I did not intend to make anyone feel less than a man or a woman, but I was only sharing what our ancestors taught us. Because my mom and dad also went to that all-black school.
Right.
And they raised three children. My mom and dad didn't graduate from high school because they had to go to work. They went to work. And if you work for a wage, then you are a slave to that wage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't change it. You are a slave to the wage.
Okay.
Now, with those our fallen sisters and brothers are not the only fallen sisters and brothers. Because when you really look at the numbers, more sisters and brothers fall at the hands of sisters and brothers. But we do not get up in arms about it, do we?
Not true at all, sir.
Yes, sir. I've got the numbers right here in Richmond. And New York got the numbers, too. New York got them, too. Black-on-black crime is the reason for more black deaths than the police officer.
I'm going to ask you. Let me have a conversation.
Have a conversation.
Okay, I understand in Chicago, I think they made a quote a couple of this last summer that more people were killed in Chicago than in Afghanistan. I understand that there's black-on-black crime. But, sir, there's also... There's also interspecies aggression called World War One, World War Two, the Crusades. What was that about?
I don't have an explanation, but if we're going to be angry. We have a choice. And I'm going to go back to my God that someone told me to throw away.
You're not answering
because
the question, sir.
I'm going to answer.
I need people to understand this. This is the Dr. Rock Show. I'm not trying to be arrogant. But if you want to pontificate your own doctrine, you need to get your own show. And I'm not trying to control what you do, but, you know, I'm trying to keep some type of pattern and process going on here so that we can have a conversation about the subject matter. The subject matter is about our fallen angels. It's not about the Bible. It's not about your mom and your daddy and my mom and my daddy. It's not about that. And if we can't get focused, Dr. Rock will put the button on you. Simple as that. We're going to be respectful, and we're going to move forward. But let me see. I got a couple other calls that came in because I wanted to go further down the line. Like I said, I thought we were going to break the record of 50 calls, but we got close to 35 callers still on. A lot of them don't want to talk. But I got an old friend from my H-Town. He's on the line, and it looks like 564 got upset because he couldn't have his way, and I understand that. You know, so, but, you know, he'll be all right. 832-725. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Avery. That's not Avery. 832 just wants to listen. So we're just going to put them back on hold. We got 804-888. I know who that is. They probably want to just listen also. Let me pose another question. What can we do about it? What's the solution, guys? I'm going to go back to 216-269. At least he's still, hey, LaPata, at least he's still in the vicinity. He's still in the family.
I'm still here.
I kind of knew, and you know, you were kind of right when I sent out a mass email to some people. Mm-hmm. I knew this was fanatical, but I thought he would be respectful. But if you don't know how to respect people, the doctor was. I'm going to teach you right quick.
But you know what? It was good in a way. It was insightful for anybody that was listening. But I'll leave it up at that. But I want to answer your previous question when you asked, when were things better?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good question.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that was a good question because, okay, my age is, I'm in my late 60s, so I was a teenager when Martin Luther King, Malcolm X was speaking, things were going live. And this was my experience that I lived through, not read about. But when people are all stressed the same, it seems, unfortunately, when we were in a worse financial situation, when I was that age, see, we didn't have black mayors, black senators, we didn't have black people on TV shows with their own TV show and so forth. And when I was on the street and the black nationalists and the Black Panthers had storefronts set up to educate us on ground level, we were calling each other brother and sister. And people have to remember, when you're in stress times, when you're all under direct threat, when I moved in a white neighborhood, there was no my nigger, and there was no arguing amongst us, because I was so glad to see him, that was automatically my brother. Okay?
Exactly.
And if I didn't understand it, you can say what you want. People can feel the way they want about somebody like Elijah Muhammad and what he did in his personal life. But these things that he tried to impress upon our people, do for self and respect self. I saw some people turn from drug addicts and being the worst drug in the street to being dressed up clean with clear skin and no pork and saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir.
Yes.
That's when we had better times.
Yes.
But when we got that money, and everybody what they call moved up, then we mm-hmm. left the brother and the sister and the Afro and all that mm-hmm. and started to, mm-hmm. we thought that we could assimilate into this
assimilate.
America.
Yes. Yes, and it's not working. It's
let me say
all
that quick. I was specifically
That's my take.
Hold on
the
a second.
Only thing I can see that we can do, you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. When we really had this thing together, when we had Harlem,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We had Rosewood. We had Greenwood, Oklahoma, the Black Wall Street. When we exist in a whole community, when we are our own market, when we are our own neighbors, and we watch out when that village is raising that child, when we are collectively to ourselves, we do good.
Yes.
We do good.
Yes.
We prosper.
Yes.
Just being real.
Yes.
We do. I mean, those are good examples. I mean, you got to admit to it. Integration was an experiment gone wrong. Nowhere else.
Right.
The doctor has been around the world twice. If you go to Duesenberg right now, you're not going to see a bunch of Japanese and Mexicans and some German people. And,
hello.
You know, you're not. You're just not.
Well, I'll tell you a good example.
That's right.
All you have to do is look at the Jewish community. They don't call it separation.
No.
But when I ride down the street in Cleveland and I go past their school, they are all walking, dressed the same way. They don't call it separation, but they don't need anything from anybody because they're self-reliant. They're paying for their own schools. Teaching what they want to teach.
That's right.
In their own,
right.
And they make their own community.
That's
by simply doing, by simply living together like we do. We live together as far as geographical location and next door and all that. But when they live together, they have a unifying force of Judaism among them. We don't have any such force.
You're right. We don't have that unity. That's the missing link.
Well,
you know why?
Like I
said, 400 years, Willie Lynch. Go ahead, LaPata. Go ahead.
No, like I was saying before, only a fool would let the enemy teach their children. That's the truth.
Yeah,
how are you gonna let somebody who's your how are you gonna let some enemy teach your child anything? You know, no.
Education.
No.
They get indoctrinated.
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, and we gotta fix this again.
Absolutely.
Again, I gave you two or three solutions. You know, Harlem. I mean, Sister LaPata. I know you can speak. Are you a Harlemite? I mean, I know you live in Queens, but you're in Harlem regularly.
I love Harlem.
And they're trying to gentrify Harlem right now because it's what? Uptown.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, man. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. You know, there's so many things that could have happened during the 70s and 80s where people who had the type of finance to buy up blocks and blocks of Harlem and keep it amongst us. Like what's happening out in Sag Harbor, you know, like I have my son's family and everybody out there who are keeping their homes. They're not selling because Sag Harbor and Azure Rest happens to be a black enclave. You know, it's all black. It's a black community. We socialize together. We come together. We talk about politics, about children, about what's happening in the world that we live in, you know, it's no big surprise. So
the only thing that is stopping us from being successful is unity. And believe me, there are thousands of social dynamics, political systems, and processes and plans that are in effect to make that happen and to keep it like that. It's not
that's
by chance that we are divided. We didn't come over here like that. That's been a concerted effort. If you, again, take a look at the Willie Lynch speech, we're still living that. 400 years later, it's still in effect. And it said in the letter, if you implement these processes, this will perpetrate for 400 years. And it has. We hate each other because one's Christian, one's Buddhist, one's Islam, and one's Jehovah's Witness. It don't matter. As long as we agree on one thing. And that's the liberation of Africans in America. That's all I'm talking about. I don't have a problem if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, act Christ-like. If you're about Islam, be respectful. If you're a Buddhist, act like you got some respect. Show that Christianity and that belief in your religion. Don't just wear it as a red badge of courage and try to you want to indoctrinate everybody else into your mentality because you think you're right. That's egocentric. It's ethnocentric and it's egocentric, and it makes no sense. We can still be a community of as diverse as anybody else, and yet agree on one thing. Again, guys, just one thing: liberation.
That's true. Can I make this one? Right.
America,
go ahead.
Go ahead, sister.
No. What I wanted to say is, like, everybody was up in arms over the Confederate flag. And I spoke to several friends, and we discussed this thoroughly. And I said, you know what? The Confederate flag, okay, I understand that, you know, many people felt a vision of hatred, of course. But you must consider that it was the American flag that lynched Black people. It was the American flag that subjected us to 400 years of slavery. It was all about finance between Britain. If they read the book Common Sense, okay, that book will give so much insight. Tim Wise, he's a white brother that will give some serious, you know, we're full of hypocrisy here. It's full of lies. You know, you can't take lies and make them true. You cannot take a lie and make it a truth. And you tell yourself that, but they tell themselves that. And they make it seem true.
But that's what they do. That is the great power of I'm just gonna say a dark spirit, the power of Beelzebub. It is the ability to change reality.
Yes.
And they have mastered that now. If you look at movies now, they can create anything.
Yes.
But they can also tell you that Black folks were slaves, and it was a lie, but we believed it then. They can tell you that females and males are equal. You believe that? That's a lie. A bald-faced lie.
Mm-hmm.
Not real. It's not even necessary. Because men respect women that respect themselves and respect men. And women respect men that respect themselves. That's
true.
How it works.
True.
You know, I mean, we got to work this thing out. And but we keep getting played like a funky piano by the powers that be.
True.
We can't because the media is manipulating us, and as long as we're sitting up looking at that dumb machine and listening to CNN and these other media shows, they tell you what they want you to think, not the truth.
The brainwashing. That's right.
What they want you to know. That's it. I mean, you know, what's this guy in New York with the funny haircut? The real estate guy. What's his name, LaPada? Look, with funny heck, he's a real estate guy. Got a whole bunch of buildings up there.
Oh, Donald Trump.
He's a freaking joke. But the reality in America, the reality in America is that political power, political favor, can only be gotten by what? Money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why poor people don't get represented because they have lobbyists. And we have legislators that get paid by the lobbyists to vote a certain way. And that's why I'm saying this system doesn't work. It's not going to work for us. We need to, in fact, what we need to do is initiate our own form of African democracy, again, which is equitable distribution of the wealth. And we need to have our own place so that we can do that. And we can do that right here. The state of Texas and the Constitution has a clause called Texas Divisionism. And because the way Texas came into the Union and the size of Texas, Texas can be divided up into five separate states right now, today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they don't want that to happen because they think five states, you got two instead of two senators, now you got 10. Instead of 146 representatives, you got five to four times as more. But what about Black Texas? Dr. Rock is saying that today, 2015. And that's what we need to move toward. We got to do that. That is a solution, guys. But watch, what we're going to do? We're going to continue to intellectually masturbate the inevitable. We're going to listen to those talking heads, those educated people, West and all those other guys up there who've been to Harvard and been indoctrinated, acting like they Black, and indoctrinated with a Eurocentric mentality and trying to convince us that they know what's best.
Wow. I wish people would go out. I wish people would go out and buy the book Thomas Paine's book, Common Sense. Look at it, read it. They persecuted this man for even having the common sense, the intellect,
right.
And he was white,
right.
The intellect to discuss the situation.
Also, you brought up Tim Wise. He wrote the counteract
yes,
to the book.
Yes.
Like Me, Tim Wise wrote a book called White
yes.
Like Me, God. Yes.
White
so,
Like Me,
right.
Yes.
And there are people out there that are telling us, if you're on Facebook, I know you guys have seen white men coming on with videos telling us, black folks, y'all need to be by yourself.
Yes.
We don't love you. And I'm sure you don't love us. Who wants to live next door to some little rock and roll kids with a meth lab? And then they want to live next door to Pookie and them with a crack house. We both deal with something called fear. And it's real. Both of it's real. On both sides. That's what divides us. The unknown and that actual fear that we have of each other. Therefore, Bob, you need to have yours. And Pookie and them, they need to have theirs. And understand this, Pookie and the last caller we had, if you can't adhere to the laws of nature, be an African man with a conscience and give to the community, then you need to stay over there with Bob and them. Don't come over here. Because we want peace in our land, and we only want those that understand that unity is the key.
It is. So, absolute.
216-269. Do you think we can ever get to that point? You think we can find a safe place in America?
You know what? I try to carry mine around with me and feel safe, even maybe when I shouldn't. You know, because I still want to keep in touch with my folks, and I look around, what we have the cities, what I see. When you have these overpopulated with black cities, there's no excuse. If we have black mayors, black school superintendents, black principals, it's got to be a time when they have a mentality of self-determination to not have to ask anybody for anything. Make sure that their schools run in the same way they should be. But for whatever reason, these people are undocumented on their way to those positions.
No, they're just employees. They're just employees. They don't own that school.
That's right. And they're systematically set up to fail. That's the bottom line, politically speaking.
They don't want to lose their six-figure jobs, you know, to stand up for black folks. Let's be real about it.
But you know what? I'm stubborn. I'm glad you asked me. I'm stubborn, and as long as you and somebody like LaPata and a few others, I'm not going to wait on the rest of the Negroes to come along.
Yeah, understand this. All is a mathematical improbability. All will never happen. But we only need,
all will never happen.
We only need 20 or 30% of them to do what we need.
Exactly.
To do. That's all we need. And then,
when
others see it working, then they'll come around. That's just the way it is. But we have to set it up the right way, and we have to do it the right way.
You know what I really think it's going to take? I think it's going to take the younger generation now to talk to the younger generation, because we can talk. We don't quite speak their language, even though we understand them. When the young business moguls, the young rappers, the young actors, and all the people that they look up to and respect and want to emulate, when they turn around and talk to their own brothers and sisters instead of buying 8 cars and won't give a brother or sister a ride, that is when I think. Now, how we can do it, I don't know. I wish I knew.
I mean, you say you were in Cleveland, right?
Right.
I know you can
in the riots. No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I know you can probably name at least maybe 2 or 3 back in the 80s drug kingpins that had millions of dollars. Literally.
Right.
In the 80s, we could have took something negative. We know they flooded those drugs and cars to incarcerate us.
Yeah.
But we still could have took that. We could have turned that into a positive. We could have used some of that money to transform some of the ghettos or the black communities. But like you said, we drove 5 or 6 cars. You know, we bought help me coats and stuff. You know, we got to get focused.
That's where integration stepped in and killed that thought when these people were young, so they wouldn't have it when they got older and got that money. Simple as that.
Exactly. Yeah. Today, there's still land in Louisiana that African Americans, the Ouachita tribe, they own it. They own it. All we got to do is stand together and claim it, and nobody can do anything about that. And we're not talking about taking up arms, Bob. But you know what? You know, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Straight up. I mean, you know, sometimes, sometimes I agree. You have the first law of physics. You have to meet force with the same opposing force.
That's right.
There's got to be enough in America for everybody, or there ain't enough for nobody. So I just beckon that we love ourselves enough that we can part up. You know, it's just like a bad marriage. You know, baby, I love you, but I'm going to love you from over here. You know, if you feel like that person's not good for you, you have to remove yourself from that environment, whether it be male or female, and you still may care about that person, but it was toxic together. And sometimes you just got to give them their space. Right now, we need our space. We need a black Texas, a black Louisiana, a black Cleveland, a black Virginia, a black New York. We need that for ourselves.
You know what happens, brother? It takes courage to have that thought. And I think people have really been whipped and worn down to where they don't have the force to believe in themselves, so they leave it up to somebody else.
I agree. You spoke wisely on the earlier caller, and I hear the wisdom in what you're saying. But
right.
I
love the brother. I want him to know that if he's still listening. I love your brother, because we're all in this thing together. All I want him to do is love and respect me, whichever path I choose to follow. Because we're in this thing together, brother. You can believe that. I don't care what book you read.
That's right.
I don't care if you're a Christian, like I said, or a Buddhist or a Scientologist. We're in this boat together. This boat goes down, we all going down. It's simple as that. But he's fanatical. I love the brother, too. I shouldn't have sent him a text.
Yeah.
Is fanatical. Yet, sometimes you got to learn. I told him, you want you a show? Get you one. This is called the Dr. Rock Show. That's the way it's going down. And I mean, I'll let anybody, they can call and they can voice their opinion and we can have conversation. But we're going to respect each other. That's just the way it is. This ain't no curry soup. This ain't no lady talking about After Dark. And this ain't no Steve Harvey Show. I'm not here to pacify anybody. I'm actually here to disseminate some good information so that we can think about this stuff. And I'm planting a seed in Cleveland, in New York, in Houston, in Florida right now. Because that is the solution. I want to keep preaching that. That is the solution, guys. Once we decide, understand the unity of that small 20 or 30% of us, and we utilize the laws and the tax base to create our own, I'm close with this one. I want you guys to imagine a black Virginia, small community of 30,000, 20,000. Every morning at 7 o'clock, everybody wakes up and they pray and they do yoga, whoever you pray to. And then everybody goes to work. If you don't have a job, you do something for the community. Every business there is a business that's African-American. So if Ms. Johnson ain't got $10 for some eggs and a carton of milk, we give it to her on credit. Because she's 86 years old and she's on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
We have a minimum wage that's not a minimum wage, but a living wage for everybody. The youth are being taught the African legacy, not his story. We ain't got no therapist. Because if you look at that word, you'd be afraid. The
racist. Yes.
We don't have that. The police officers, they don't even wear pistols. They don't have tasers. And you know what, guys? And we create our own automobiles. create our own businesses, our own .coms. And at 9 o'clock at night, we go to sleep. And we can leave the door unlocked again. Yeah, we still got an army, but that's to protect our borders. Yeah, because all we want to do is to be the same African people that we were 400 years ago. The Dogon, the Mende, the Twi, the Wolof, Kwazi Zulu, Ulani, the Kua. That's all we want to do. God gave us a garden, and we're happy to have it, and we don't hate nobody. We just love being black. And ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with loving yourself. Dr. Rocks don't tell you. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I love myself. And I can't speak for nobody else.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm backing up
that.
So long.
And we've been scorned. We've been treated bad, talked about as sure as you moan. Just as sure as it takes 2 eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. Someone else. But yeah, one more thing I got to say right here. Now, we're people.